Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Welcome back to us and to you, I guess, too.
I know. It's been a minute, it feels like, for me.
Yeah, so, it has, definitely.
Welcome back.
Mm-hmm. So, I kind of went on an adventure while we were away.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I said it on here, but I think I definitely said I was going on vacation, but I don't know if I said where. Mm-hmm. I went to Hawaii.
Ooh.
So that was awesome.
Amazing.
It was a very long flight.
I mean, you honestly went to the furthest point across, I feel like you could have went.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if, I mean, that's pretty far, but maybe Australia's farther, I don't know.
Oh, I meant like in the United States.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. I should have definitely said that. No, you're right. the farthest point in the U.S. from where I was, yeah, definitely. It was awesome. I saw my friend get married, and we saw, like, beautiful plants and wildlife. We went on the road to Hana, which is, like, Hana is a, like, a little town or city. I don't know if it's a town or city, but either one. But the road there is, like, covered in, like, beautiful plants and little trails that you can stop at. And it was, like, on a cliffside the whole time, pretty much.
Oh, so beautiful.
It was, you know, it was beautiful, but it was also, it took a long time to drive on because it was, like, these twisty, turvy roads that are 10 miles per hour. So.
Oh, wow. 10 miles per hour is crazy. I don't even think my foot is capable of doing less than, like, 25.
No, it was, you would have been able to go slow on this road because there's no way you could go fast.
True.
They were, it was, like, 10, 15 miles per hour the whole way, and it was, like, 20 to 30 miles.
Wow.
So it was a lot.
Oh, wow.
But that's that was crazy. Honestly one of the highlights. So
That's really awesome. Cool.
And the water at the beach, super, super clear. Ooh. Like, you can see right through to the floor.
Did you go swimming?
Yes, of course. And it's not like North Carolina beaches at all, because the water, like, you can't see through the water in the North Carolina beaches. But
right. I mean, occasionally you can.
Yeah.
But
this was, like, clear.
Yeah, it's a whole different level over there.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
The Pacific Ocean?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep.
I've never been in that ocean before.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have now, so that's cool.
Amazing.
And we also went zip lining one day.
Ooh.
So that was really fun.
Was that scary? I've never been zip lining either.
See, I thought it was going to be scary, but honestly, when you're all strapped up in, like, a harness, It's not scary. It feels like you're kind of on a slide, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
So,
just hanging there.
Honestly. Yeah. It was fun. I kind of want to do it again. So.
Yeah, well, we should. And actually, I have went ziplining, but, like, on a course. So, like, not through a beautiful scenery.
Well, this was on a course.
Yours was a course?
Yeah, it was a course.
Oh. But, like, it was in Hawaii, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little more pretty.
We had a guide, like a little tour guide girl. She was telling us all these facts about just Hawaii facts. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, while you were having that grand old time in Hawaii, I was watching over your house and your cat.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Of course. And it was very fun. You know, me and little Parm, we're besties now. And aside from Parm, it was also, like, pretty much still Halloween vibes when you were in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You know, you went, like, basically on Halloween. So,
yes.
Just, you know, a few days after that, I decided I was going to do a little seance in Savannah's house.
Oh, my gosh.
just because, I mean, I was there. And, you know, it was still Halloween vibes. So
I wish I was there for that. Like, I feel like we need to do it again.
We're absolutely gonna do it again.
Okay.
Absolutely we are. And, you know, it was nothing crazy that I got, but I did, in fact, also do a seance in your shed, and that is where the creepy stuff was happening. It was not. It was just very scary out there in that shed. I don't know if it's just because it looks scary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But, is there anything you can tell us?
Well, I mean, there were a couple storylines that were making sense that they were telling us. We were using the Estes method where I was with my friend Dina, and one of us would put, like, we would blindfold ourselves and then put these noise-canceling headphones on and then use this. It's like a radio frequency thing that, like, scans different radio frequencies, and ghosts can allegedly speak through it, you know, using their energy or whatever. And so all you can do is hear words. You hear a bunch of static and then words occasionally. And so, yeah, there was a bunch of, like, men talking. And there was one going on and on about how they were, like, chasing this man down this mountain. It just kept saying over and over in my ears, like, chasing the man down the mountain, chasing the man down the mountain. And I was
my God.
Okay, sir. Like, you go chase that man down that mountain. So I don't know about that, but then the last time we did it, it did in fact tell us to go to the shed, and we were a little bit too scared to go to the shed after it said that, because then it was like, get out. That was a seance. That was a little scary, you know. That was the only thing that was scary though. So maybe it was just somebody pulling a little prank. A little ghost prank. That's what I'm going to go with anyway.
So my property is haunted.
Maybe just the shed. Maybe just the shed. The property for sure haunted. But, like, I think in my ghostly opinion, I think your house is solid. Like, there might be some people in there, but they're chilling. But the shed, a different story.
Okay. Good to know.
So, yeah, we'll have to do another seance and tell you guys what we find.
We definitely have to.
We have to. It would be too fun. Far too fun.
Yeah, I want to try the Estes method. Yeah. Because I've never done it. Like, I've just heard about it.
Mm-hmm. It's very scary. You feel like you're 11 from Stranger Things when they, like, take away all your other senses. That's why you get blindfolded.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like the same, like, thought process.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, like, it's so, like, the static is so loud in your ear that you can't hear, like, what the other person is saying. Because the goal would be, like, one person would ask questions and then the other person would be blindfolded with the headphones on with the words.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, future updates to come, I would say, on that one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But other than that, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But do you want to go ahead and get up on into your story, Savannah?
Yes, I do. And my story actually was inspired by the trip that I took. So,
ooh, I'm excited.
So there we go. I think we only had like one Hawaiian story before, right?
Definitely, I remember the night marchers.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't remember the top of my head if there were any more, but definitely the night marchers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only one I can think of, too. But, and no, I did not see any, so.
Good. I'm glad.
So, I decided since I was on the island of Maui, that I was going to look into Maui, the demigod.
I just watched Moana yesterday. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. So, honestly, okay, the first time, or like, honestly, after I've seen Moana, I did not know, like, how much of it was, like, true to traditions and stuff and, like, real. And, yeah, like, I didn't realize, like, how much of it kind of was.
I love that.
Like, I didn't know that Maui was a real demigod.
Demigod, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he, yeah, he was. Or is, slash was, I don't know.
only he knows for real.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the island they have in the movie Moana, I'm pretty sure that's just a made-up island. But it's, like, it's Tahiti.
Oh, it's Tahiti.
Like, yeah, they're like
trying to... No, that's a real island. That's a real place.
Tahiti is a real place.
And then, oh, yeah. Tahiti is her
Tahiti
name.
Tahiti is, yeah. So that's where, like, I think that's where they got the name from it. But regardless. Oh. Because they sound so alike. Like, I don't know.
I don't either. But I feel like it's in a different language because... Here, listen. True. You hit me on the right day because I watched this movie literally last night.
And okay, well, there you go.
Spoilers, because I'm sorry. Y'all need to have already seen this movie, in my opinion. When Taka is, like, nice, I mean, Tahiti is nice. Her name is Tahiti, but when she's mean, she's Taka. So I always assumed that was, like, a language. And, like, Tahiti, like, Fiti and Ka mean, like, probably good and bad or something like that. But I, you know, I don't have any research to back that up, but that was my thought process.
Yeah. But well, I didn't really look, I didn't look too much into that, but now I want to.
Yeah, same.
You know? And yeah, now we're back at it again with the Disney comparisons, because my last story, I compared it to Coco, so.
Oh my gosh. Okay, listen. All I know is that Disney uses a lot of mysteries, myths, and legends, TM.
They do.
In all of their shows and movies, because, you know, Coco, Moana, and I just finished Loki season 2, and that had so many different legends in it. So
okay, and I also, like, on the plane, I watched Brother Bear.
Mm-hmm. It's that been a one minute since I've seen some. That movie.
I love that movie.
Me too. It was one of my favorites growing up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's get more focused on my story. So
anyway,
we kind of sidetracked there. But yeah, back to Maui. So Maui is a trickster demigod, and he's like a Polynesian god. Mm-hmm. So the stories of Maui, a lot of what I saw from my little research I did, the stories come from New Zealand.
Interesting.
Like the native, Maori people, right? Is that how you... I believe that's how you say it.
I think so.
Of New Zealand, because they're the natives there. They are the indigenous people. They, have those legends. But also in Hawaii, because native Hawaiians and the indigenous New Zealand people, they are descended from the same... from, like, the same people, basically, that came from the same islands in eastern Polynesia.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they have similar stories. And I didn't even really, like, that's just a new fact for me, you know?
I mean, I think that kind of makes sense, just because they're kind of close.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense, but... Yeah, I just never thought too much about it. But anyways, now I'm, like, losing my spot here.
Tragic.
Because.
Okay, we got caught off guard talking about Disney, and now that's all I can think about.
I know, I think that's what it was. Yeah. So, the ancient Hawaiians had a deep connection to nature and used these myths and legends to, like, explain how things came to be. I guess, and the ancient New Zealanders as well, were just to explain, you know, how things are, just like other ancient cultures did, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, in the first legend that I'm going to talk about, Maui, he noticed that the days were short because the sun was moving like way too fast through the sky. Mm-hmm. So he went to his brothers and he told them that he was going to catch the sun and tell it to slow down, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you can't do that. Like, they told him they didn't believe in him. Rude. But then he went out and got a lasso. Mm-hmm. And he did it.
Nice.
So he caught the sun in a lasso. Amazing. And it was like struggling to get free. And Maui said that if you want to be free, then you need to move slower across the sky so that the days are longer and people have more time to do things throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And the sun agreed to make the days longer in the summer and shorter in the winter. So Maui, he kept the lasso on the sun just in case he ever needed to go back and threaten the sun again after that.
So,
but yeah, he, I guess he's the reason why we have longer days, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty convenient that just happened. Do we go forward? I don't know. Fall back. We fell back.
Yes, we did. We went back.
I hate it, so. Thanks, Maui.
Yeah, I know, right? He really just, like, helped us out in, like, the summer, and then during this time, it's, like, mm-hmm. not that great, but
and can whatever. I also just say from Moana, it's in the song, and it's like he and I lassoed the sun.
I know. Honestly, like a few of the stories that I'm gonna tell are in that song.
Perfect. I'll sing it.
Yeah. So okay, these are. I basically have like a few that are just like a short little legends, mm-hmm. but yeah. So the next one, he like lifted the sky up, basically.
Okay.
So he noticed that the sky was low, like low to the ground, and that the trees were tangled in it, like leaves would flatten against the sky. It was kind of dark everywhere because it wasn't high enough so that the sun could shine on everything. And people even had to crawl around because the sky was not tall enough to walk upright.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Maui then, he went and visited a, like, priest healer person, and he got a tattoo with a magic symbol on his forearm. Oh. And then he also went to an old woman and drank from a gourd, mm-hmm. as you do, you know, to gain strength to lift the sky, right?
So that's what I need to do? I need to drink from a gourd?
Yes, but it has to be from an old lady.
Oh, okay. Well, that can be done.
Yeah. So he tried and tried to lift the sky. He's just like pushing up on it, right? And he finally was able to lift it up. And he pushed it up and beyond the mountains, lifted the edges over the ocean, and it still remains in place today.
Thanks, Maui.
Yeah,
thanks, I love Maui. Not having to crawl around on all fours.
I know, right? And they say that when dark storm clouds gather, they're afraid to stay too long in case Maui comes to push them away forever.
Oh, they're scared of him. Everybody seems to be scared of Maui.
Yeah, well, he means business. So even though he's a trickster, he's really just helping people out.
Truly. He's the man of the people.
Mm-hmm. Truly. So this next story, Maui's, his mom and his brothers, they would, like, make fun of him, basically, for being a bad fisherman.
Oh, so mean.
They were like, you don't know how to fish. Like, you can't catch a fish to save your life. So he decided to go out and prove himself. He traveled to the underworld, as you do.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Just casually. And he asked his ancestor for her jawbone. so he could use it as a fish hook.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I don't know why.
Wait. Like, she's dead?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, okay, Savannah, can I use your jawbone real quick for my
Yeah. Hook? Well, it's his ancestor, so I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, no, that does, in fact, make sense.
And he's in the underworld.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot he's in the underworld. Wow, his ancestor must be really big.
Yeah. I don't. Listen, I don't know. But she said yes, so he took her jawbone. Mm-hmm. And he used it as a hook. And he used his mother's, like, flock of birds as bait.
Okay.
So he was really determined to go and catch a fish. Mm-hmm. So he went out to search for some. He paddled around and finally found the perfect spot. So he cast his fishing pole out and the jawbone immediately caught hold of something. So he's like, oh, yes, like, I caught a fish already. So he pulled the line tighter and tighter, and it was, like, a really big struggle. Because, like, whatever he's pulling up was really heavy. And actually, in some other stories, some other versions of this story, they say that he was with his brothers, and all three of them are pulling this, and it's still, like, super heavy. For all of them.
Oh, it's not.
So, finally, he pulls something up out of the water, but it is not a fish. Mm. It is a whole island.
Oh. Well, that's why it was so heavy.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I was saying before in the beginning of this whole thing, these stories are, like, they go with Maui, like, from Hawaii, and they also go with, like, New Zealand. So, I couldn't tell which one came first, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But some stories say that Maui pulled up the Hawaiian Islands, and then other stories say that he pulled up the northern island of New Zealand.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because there's two islands in mm-hmm. New Zealand. But
I wonder what his family had to say about that, because he might not caught a fish, but he caught an island.
Right. Like, right. I there wasn't any notes about mm-hmm. what his family thought about that, but I would be impressed. I don't know.
Same.
Yeah. See, like, he's just doing impressive things, and his family just is making fun of him.
Right, they're just such bullies.
Exactly. Okay, so next story. Which this one's pretty impressive too, if I'm not gonna lie. Maybe not as impressive, but yeah. So one day he was fishing with his brothers, and he noticed some smoke rising from the top of one of the mountains. So he wanted to find out why there was, like, smoke. So he rushed to the top and discovered a hen, like a bird, smothering a fire and trying to hide it.
Oh my gosh, it's Hey Hey.
It could be, yeah. But this bird is smarter.
Mm. Yeah, so. Hey Hey's pretty dumb. Can't lie.
Yep.
But that's why I assumed. Because you said it was setting on fire to hide it. So that's pretty dumb, in my opinion. But...
Yeah. And side note, there were a lot of chickens on Maui, the island.
Yeah, you know, I think I actually knew that fact, that there's, like, a bunch of chickens there.
Yeah. There's just like feral chickens running around everywhere. It's crazy.
Oh, to be a chicken on Maui.
Honestly, true. There was even signs that said, like, do not feed the feral chickens.
Like, it's like, oh. That's the feral chickens.
This bird is, like, trying to hide the fire. So Maui, he stuck around to see if it would happen again, but the hen saw through his plan, and she noticed that Maui wasn't on the canoe with his brothers. So Maui tricked her by putting a log that was like the same size as him on the canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like watched from like behind the bushes or something as the hen like gathered sticks and leaves for kindling.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and caught the bird and he was like, tell me how to build a fire. Like, how'd you do that?
He can pull up an island, but he can't build fire. It's giving he can't do what's very necessary for him to live, but he can do just about anything else.
Yeah, well, this story actually is from, like, the creation, like, the first fire. Like, the first creation of fire, like, how to build it.
Okay.
So I guess only this hen.
Yeah, no hate to Maui for not knowing how to do a fire. Nobody did.
Yeah, nobody knew how. So he's like one of the first to know how, but I guess the animals knew how somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So he caught the hen and demanded, like, tell me how to do this. So at first the hen tricked him and was like telling him to do it wrong. But eventually
you're getting tricked.
Yeah. Tricking the trickster, it's just not working. but then eventually the hen like told him how to start the fire and he quote unquote discovered fire.
Wow. I mean, that is very impressive, but I would say it's more impressive for the hen, not for Maui. Sorry.
That's what I'm thinking too. But then he punished the hen.
Oh, Maui.
Yeah. By branding the top of her head until the feathers were burned away.
Oh my God.
So now the babies of this bird, the, Alai birds, they are bald headed to this day. And I looked up a picture and yeah, like when they're little babies, like chicks,
mm-hmm.
they have like a little bald spot.
That's adorable.
Yeah. But Maui did it.
Yeah. That was me and Maui for no reason.
Yeah. Honestly. Like, this bird really helped you out, and you just burnt it. Okay, so I have one last story, and this one is a little bit of drama, so...
Give me the tea.
We love that. Okay, so there was this evil eel named Kunaloa, and he was angry at Maui's mother. And Maui's mother is named Haina, and she did not accept his proposal to, like, live with him.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why would I want to live with you, you know?
Right.
So,
literally.
After that, Maui drove him away and was like, get out of here, just leave my mom alone. But Kunaloa still, like, longed for her, and he thought that if I can't have her, then no one can.
Typical.
Literally typical. So he came back and he appeared at the cave that she lived in and created like a diversion, like a dam basically, to flood the cave and drown her.
Oh my. Wow.
Drown her in her own home.
Very savage.
So Maui saw, like, I guess there was a warning cloud above the cave, and him and his brothers went to go save her. They got to the cave, and, like, Maui cut the dam down and chased him away. Then they threw rocks at him. We're like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, okay, Kunaloa is gone. Like, he's dead. We can just relax now. So Haina, she rejoiced and she laid in fields of sunshine. She's just like chilling out, enjoying herself. But plot twist, of course, he's still alive.
I was going to say, he was not dead.
I know. It's like, why did you think he was dead? Just because they ran him out of town. Right. Out of town.
Just because they threw a rock at him? He's not dead.
Yeah. So anyways, he's still alive. So he snuck up on her and chased her around through the forest until she was lifted it up into a tree. So she got into a tree to safety, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And she called Maui and was like, come get this guy away from me. So he came and cut the eel into pieces.
Oh, good.
and threw them into the sea. So, okay. Like, okay.
This time, I believe it.
Yeah, he's finally dead. And it is said that each piece became a new creature.
Oh.
So, the head of the eel became a fish. The tail was a conger eel. And the body of the was the monster, a monster of the sea.
Oh, monster of the sea.
So yes, those are the little Maui stories I have for you today.
I really love that so much.
Yeah, you can definitely like listen. If I listen back to the song that you were referring to,
yes, it's called.
Some of these are definitely listed in there.
Oh yeah, they are. They all like. I mean, I think every single one is.
Yeah.
I know the sun, the sky, the eel. The tattoos, obviously. I really think all of them are in there. In the one song. So, yeah. Love that. And I love that it's, you know, they're actual, like, myths there. I love that.
Yeah, they're like real stories.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so, what a fun, happy story you had, right?
I know. Oh, I do have one more thing to mention. I don't know if I think I skipped over it. But Maui the island is actually named after him.
Yeah, so. And I was going to say, is Lahaina named after Haina?
Oh my gosh. Wait, I didn't even think of that. Maybe.
Probably. I would say, my guess is yes.
Wow.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. Probably, but wow. Well, I guess moving on. I was looking for any way to segue there and. Honestly, there just was none because for me, you know, it's my story. We're getting a little dark.
Oh, no.
We're getting a little dark this time. This time, I mean, every time. Not really. But for you today, I have the legend of the S.K. Pierce Mansion.
Dun, dun, oh.
Dun, dun. So, okay. This mansion, it is in Gardner, Massachusetts. Up there. Up north. And so in this city, on 4th West Broadway, sits the iconic Sylvester K. Pierce House, aka S.K. Pierce House. So to even begin, we'll just close your eyes and picture like a really tall, really dark gray, evil looking mansion. And that's precisely what the S.K. Pierce Mansion looks like.
I'm imagining it.
It's a very creepy, dark vibe. We'll post pictures on Instagram so you can see it. But, yeah, it's creepy from the outside, too. It almost resembles, if you've seen that picture of that, like, black house beside the pink and purple, like, really vibrant house.
Yes.
It's giving the black one.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the vibes we have. But, yeah, let's just jump right on in, shall we? The house was originally built back in 1873 for, obviously, Sylvester K. Pierce. So, I'll call him S.K. or Pierce throughout the rest of the story. But this guy, he was the leading man for all chair manufacturing ever.
Ever?
Yeah. Like, he purchased his own factory at the age of 25, which is pretty much unheard of, even back then. And it's actually located right across the street from this mansion, his manufacturing plant. So, you know, with the factory up and running, he quickly became the town's richest and most successful of all time. And he actually made the town of Gardner, Massachusetts, known as Chair City, even today.
Wow. So,
yeah, he was a big influence, to say the least. And, you know, because of this and the time period, it did, in fact, take 3 years to build the house, which is a long time. And very, very fun fact, there was a bunch of famous people, really random famous people, that came and visited this house because everybody knew who the chairman was. Because, I mean, it's the 1800s. There's no internet. And so people really like to, like, show off by like buying things for their house and then showing off their house, you know, like furniture and like just houses in general were kind of like the big thing. Like, ooh, I don't have a fancy sports car, but I do have this really nice chair.
So, yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you call him the chairman, though.
Well, he is the chairman.
Because it's like chairman is also a word that means something else, too.
True. He's the chairman of Chair City, though, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, in a good way. But some of the famous people to visit this mansion include U.S. President Calvin Coolidge and famous artist Norman Rockwell. As I said, very random, like, group of people. Many more people than that, too. Those are just the two names that I recognized, so. And this mansion, during its time, was also a pretty well-known meeting place for the Freemason Society. So keep that in mind. And, you know, obviously, we as women don't know much about that. Would love to. But apparently that's where the Freemasons of, you know, Garner, Massachusetts, that's where they met up. So it's been very popular throughout all of time, including today, and it's nearly 7,000 square feet. So it's literally huge. And I did say it took 3 years to finish. It has 10 bedrooms and it was a 100 man job. And so 100 men every single day for 3 years came to build that house.
Jesus, that's a lot.
Like, 100 men, how can 100 men even work on, like, that's how big it is, you know? Yeah. Like, it's, I can't even grasp the concept.
And you said 10 bedrooms?
Yeah, 10 bedrooms.
Who lived in there?
S.K. Pierce and his family.
Just him? Rich. Or how big of a family did he have?
Well, so let's get into that. So, S.K. Pierce, he had a wife named Susan, and they had one son together.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were so excited to move into this house. So this is, like, original. Like, right when the house was built, they had one son. There will be more in the future.
Okay, okay.
But he was already alive. So they were very excited to move into this house. And, I mean, can you imagine, like, being, like, a regular schmegular person, and all of a sudden you're, like, a millionaire, and you're moving into your brand new mansion that you just got built for you?
Yeah, that, I mean, that is crazy.
I mean, that's my whole entire goal in life, so... You know, Susan, she was very excited. But, unfortunately, only 3 weeks after moving in, Susan mysteriously got a bacterial illness that ended up killing her.
Oh, no.
Just randomly, I know. So, she did not get to enjoy the house, which is sad. Mm-hmm. And so, about a year after Susan's death, S.K. Pierce got married to a different woman named Ellen. And Ellen was 30 years younger than S.K. Pierce.
What?
30 years younger. So he was 30 when she was a baby.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, Ellen, power to you, girlfriend, because I see the vision. I do see the vision.
Okay, and side note, like, these people back in the, you said the 1800s?
Mm-hmm. It was the late 1800s, but yeah.
Remarried that, like, so quickly.
So quickly. Like, it was a year. Like, God, I mean, a year isn't horrible, but, like, it's not great.
Yeah.
You know, like, sorry, you needed to go see a therapist.
Yeah, but Ellen. he probably needed a wife, so he, you know, because he's not going to take care of the house and stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's a man.
And right. And there is another reason why. He wanted more kids.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and so Ellen, you know, she was young, had to be. And so they had two kids together. So that totals three kids.
Wow. So five of them in a 10-bedroom house. They each have two bedrooms.
Yeah, they each have two bedrooms. And more than likely, Ellen and SK share a bedroom, so...
Well, yeah. You know,
they just have bedrooms galore for fun. So, moving forward into the future, in 1888, S.K. Pierce died, leaving everything to Ellen, her goal. I actually don't know that. That was just me. That was me talking.
Yeah, honestly, but I see the vision. Like, that would have been my goal.
Exactly. Like, Ellen, I agree with you. but, really sadly enough, she actually didn't even live but a couple years after S.K. Pierce died. She passed away. Yeah. And I couldn't find how, but she was young, so I don't, it had to be something. But also, but the times, you know, people didn't live long anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, when Ellen died, this led to a whole disaster with the three sons and, like, who was going to take ownership of the business and the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, even worse than all this death is the Great Depression. The Great Depression broke the business. It folded. Chairman was no longer, you know, Church City wasn't nearly as big as it was during the Great Depression. And the youngest son, Edward, took the mansion. So at the time, during the Great Depression, things got really bad, even for this extremely wealthy family. Like, these people are millionaires, and they went down just as easy as everybody else. So that just shows you how bad the times were. And it actually got so bad that Edward turned the mansion into a boarding home where drinking, gambling, prostitution, just about anything you can really imagine went down here.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big enough place, you know, might as well. Why not? What else are you going to do? I suppose. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, there was also some murder going on.
What?
Yeah, and so one of the most famous murders is said to be that of a sex worker at the mansion. And specifically, she was said to be strangled in the infamous Red Room. And so the Red Room, if you can probably guess, is a red-colored bedroom on the second floor. So that's, like, the most famous and well-known death. But another one, which strangely enough also happened in the Red Room, there was this Finnish immigrant named Eino Saari, and he burned to death in the room. And so we'll get into how he burned to death in the room in a minute. But I'm fast-forwarding this story a whole entire 100 years. So Eino Saari burned to death in that room in 1963.
So, oh, okay. Jesus. Like, this place was still being used as a place like that 100 years later?
Well, I think at that point it was like a bed and breakfast. Like, it's been many things over the years.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it wasn't like that. But he still caught on fire and burned to death in that room. But here's the crazy part. And it's not that he caught on fire. It's that nobody knows what started the fire that killed him. And the determination of the police and the fire chiefs and stuff like that was that it had to be spontaneous combustion.
Oh, wow.
So
they really think that he just caught on fire and just randomly?
Yeah, they do. They really do. So if you don't know what spontaneous combustion is, basically doctors and scientists can't really explain it, but it's where some people just catch on fire from the inside of their body and internally combust. And some people think this has to do with, like, having alcohol in your system and then doing something, and, like, that could be, like, the cause of the fire. But that people don't actually know. And people also don't really know if it's even true that people can spontaneously combust, you know? I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah, whenever I hear about that, it just seems far-fetched, but I don't know. Like, I guess it could happen.
Well, in this case, there was literally no other fire damage in the entire room. Like, nothing else was on fire. Just him. Only him. And he had burned. And that was it. So
that's weird.
It was really weird. So, you know, that's just a whole side mystery to this story. Like, who even knows what's going on there? But there is also a story that goes around about a young boy who drowned in the basement. And there's not much information other than that, but I saw it on every place I looked. There was a little boy who drowned in the basement. So, not good. But given all of this death and activity, you know, throughout the years of this house, many guests have noted lots of paranormal activity going on, as I'm sure you probably guessed.
Yes.
Of course, we got the typical, you know, the voices chanting, which I don't love that. Full body apparitions, moving furniture, slamming doors, footsteps, all the typical things. But then we also have some of the not so typical things, like making screens fly off windows, like really big temperature drops in rooms, like 20 degrees in 1 second. Really foul odors randomly, like in a room caused from absolutely nothing. And probably the weirdest one people have described hearing is, quote unquote, the ominous roar of a lion.
Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. A lion?
Uh-huh. That's what they hear. They said, we can't describe it other than literally it sounds like a mean lion. And they say when they hear the lion, they can hear it so loud that it actually shakes the house. Like, it's an actual noise that physically moves the house.
Do you think somebody had brought a lion in there during its crazy, during, like, the crazy times?
Well, that is a question. You know, I don't, maybe.
Possibly. But also, okay, actually, that might not be as, like, you know, that probably didn't happen because, you know, during the Great Depression, how are they going to get a lion to North America?
Well, you're right.
Just thought about that. But,
yeah. But, I mean, really, who knows? But the explanation that they have, at least people, what they say that it could be, is people actually think that it's the ghost of S.K. Pierce himself making that noise to show his anger and, like, displeasure of the home that he created and, like, what it got turned into. I'm like, wow. Maybe. But how's he doing? Was he a Leo like me?
Maybe. Maybe he's just, like, he can do a really good impression of a lion.
Maybe. Maybe.
So he's like, I'm just going to scream like one, do a good roar get these people out because, you know, this is a fancy rich person house and I don't know why all these people are here.
Exactly. All these disgustos. Yeah, I could just imagine him because he, you know, he was a very, like, pristine, proper man and he died before the Great Depression. So he didn't even know the situation of why it had to become what it became.
Exactly. He was just
big mad over there. So yeah, possibly a lion, possibly S.K. Pierce, who knows? I surely don't. Guests have also felt the pressure of hands pushing them, but nobody's around to actually push them. And so this little side story, when people say that they feel hands like push them or shove them or whatever, but nobody's actually there, to me, that is, like, so hard to believe because I just feel like something such, like, a physical force like that is so hard to recreate until it happened to me. And I think that I have told the story on the podcast before, definitely. But in case you're new or in case you missed the episode, I'll tell you again. Back in college, I used to be on a paranormal research, like, investigation team. And we would go to these haunted places and do investigations like you see on TV. And at this one place that we were investigating, I fully felt a hand, like, touch my lower back as if it was a human being.
That is so creepy.
Yeah. So the situation in which that happened, there was, like, 5 or 6 of us in a room. And the tour guides had told us that they didn't want to tell us any of the information beforehand to skew our judgments, you know? So they were like, we want you guys to go investigate this room, but we're not going to tell you why. And we're not going to tell you what happens there until after. Which I personally like that. Because having no expectations, I feel like, you know, makes things a little bit more believable at least.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, but they told us to go in the room and, like, lay down far away from one another. Just see if anything happens. And lay down. Like, on the floor. And we were like, okay, I mean, whatever. It was a really big room. So we did that. We were able to separate. We all laid out in different corners of the room. And we laid there for like 15 minutes and asked questions, did all the normal stuff, and nothing happened. Not even one thing. Not even one weird, what was that noise? Nothing. So 15, 20 minutes pass, and we're like, nothing's happening. Let's just go back downstairs or whatever and meet up with everybody else. So we're standing up, and I stand up, and I'm waiting for everybody to just, like, gather all the materials because, you know, we had flashlights and all this other stuff. And I just feel literally somebody touch, like, my lower back. Just a hand. It didn't feel like a push, but I could just, it maybe felt like somebody was, like, using me to get up off the ground if you know what I mean, you know, to like stable themselves.
Yeah.
So I turned around, just assuming it was somebody getting up off the ground, because we had been laying there for like 20 minutes, you know, it might have been hard to get up. I don't know. But nobody was around me, not even close, not at all. And like that feeling of just my heart absolutely sinking into my butthole, because I was like, guys, something just actually touched me. And I like, that was, it was horrifying. So we go back downstairs, right? Meet up with the rest of the group. And the tour guides were like, okay, so there is a male ghost in there and he likes to touch women. So that's one reason. That's one thing that we didn't tell you about that room, and why we didn't, is because they had sent a group of girls up to that room.
Oh my God.
I know. So yeah, it was a really weird experience. And so yeah, when people say that they are pushed or touched by a ghost, I know what they mean, even though it sounds really, really crazy, honestly. So, yeah, but
that is wild. I just, yeah, I would hate that.
Yeah, that place is so scary. Yeah, it's the Bellamy Mansion.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
go listen to that episode if you haven't. I don't know.
And we have a video, right?
Oh, we do have a vlog there too. Yeah, yeah, we do. And actually, yeah, I did tell that story when we were in that room, in the vlog. Okay, I remember, yeah. I did. So, creepy and hate it. Luckily, nothing happened. I've been back to that place many times since that investigation, and nothing's ever happened again. So, that's good. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was my brain, but I just don't think it was, because I felt it, you know? But, mm-hmm. Moving back to the mansion, paranormal investigators have, you know, been there many times at this point, and they all agree that whatever spirit or energy is in the house is very powerful, because the things that they do are pretty much all like physical, like, things. And one really, really, really common thing is that the furniture, which is really old and really heavy, he was a chair maker, and most of the furniture in the house is like original still, and so it's from the 1800s, so aka it's heavy, and this furniture is often, like, every single day rearranged, moved around, pushed around, not where it was left. So these ghosts are just moving these chairs around, which, yeah, I think that's, is funny.
I mean, yeah, I guess it is funny. It's like just messing with the people who...
Because I kind of also imagine it might just be S.K. Pierce himself being like, these are my chairs, don't touch them.
Okay, yeah, true. Okay, are they the original chairs?
I mean, there are original chairs and there are not original chairs, both in the house.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Both are moved, though. All of the above are moved,
yeah,
around.
Yeah.
And also, everybody who goes into the house today has to sign waivers, because, you know, in case you get hurt, they can't be liable.
Is it in case you spontaneously combust?
Exactly. You know, can't sue the house. No. They also have dolls in the house. And they are said to also move around the house. Hate that. Absolutely hate that. And that is just like... Is it evil, or is it just one of these ghosties playing a trick? Because if I was a ghost, I would love to move a doll around to scare you.
Yeah, honestly, like, if I was a ghost, I would just do random little things like that to, like, to freak people out.
Right,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to think I would be a mean ghost, but it would kind of be funny if I could really, you know, scare somebody. Mm-hmm. But anyway, something else weird is that they have found old artifacts in the house, and all of these artifacts have been found with the Masonic symbols on them. And so I couldn't find much information on, like, what these artifacts are. And that is weird. There's just a lot of secrecy surrounding Freemasons. And so this house has a lot of stuff to do with that, and there's just not a lot of further information other than there's some things going on there with having to do with the Freemasons. So, that's weird. This one you'll love. There's a ghost cat. Meow.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, people hear meowing But there's no living cats that live in the house. But people hear meowing and they can feel a cat rub up against you.
Oh.
Little ghosty
cat. Now that's cute.
I know. And so some of the common ghosts that are seen is literally every S.K. Pierce family member. You know, Susan, very common. She's probably the most common ghost, which good for Susan because she only lived in the house for 3 weeks, but at least she's enjoying it in the afterlife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. At least she gets it now, I guess. But people also see all three of the sons. People see S.K. Pierce all the time and Ellen, everybody. Even if they didn't die in the house, they say that you can still see them. So, crazy. Over the years, many different people have owned it. Every single one of the owners have talked about their odd experiences that they've had here. And today, they do tours. It's like a preserved mansion or whatever you want to call it. Like, historical, you know, kind of like Kerner's Folly. And Kerner's
Yeah, Folly. Yeah.
And during Halloween season, they open up a haunted attraction in the entire basement of the house.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, we just missed that one. So mm-hmm. maybe next year. But apparently that haunted attraction in the basement is really, really, really scary. And the waiver that you have to sign is like 10 times the one on a regular tour. Because apparently people have gotten hurt.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
They do blame the ghost. Actually, like, that they were going through a haunted attraction and, like, furniture was moved during it. Like, knock people over.
What?
I don't know, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. So,
yeah, like, I mean, I kind of want to go just to see what would happen. Same. But also, that's scary.
It's scary, but honestly worth it. I would get a chair thrown at me to prove something.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the house also, you can rent it out for paranormal investigations. That's what it is also mainly used for today. Unfortunately, there is a wait list to get to stay there. And currently, as of right now, it has about 3,000 people above us.
Oh, wow.
So 3, we need to get on the list because, honey, they are booked and busy. Booked and
like,
busy.
Like, how long would that take? Like, years.
Probably like 2 or 3.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, so some people, you gotta think some people on that list are not gonna follow through.
For
right?
sure, like, for sure. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it could be like 1 year. So I'm gonna get us on the list. And, you know, if we have to decline the offer when the time comes, then we decline it. But we might as well get on the list, you know?
Yeah. That's what all those people think, too.
That's true. That's very true. We just, like, slide them, like, a $5 bill on the counter. We're like, let us in.
Yes.
They're like, this is not enough. We slide them we make them our own chair. And we're like, this is for S.K. Pierce.
yeah.
But, yeah, that is the legend of the S.K. Pierce Mansion.
Wow. The story of the chair man.
The chair man and the chair city. I know, it's crazy. And it's so funny also that I decided to do a story about Chair City when we were about to go to the furniture capital of the entire world the other day.
I was thinking about that when you said that he made chairs and it was like the Chair City. And I was like, we live right by the most, like,
the new Chair City, basically.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's the furniture
capital of the world or whatever.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, if S.K. Pierce was alive, he would be here.
He probably would.
Like, he would be there selling his chairs. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. But, go check out our Instagram to see pictures from this week.
Yes.
Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. And also go to our YouTube. And leave us a little comment. I want to know what are some stories that you guys want to hear. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't really have anything else this week. What about you, Savannah?
Nope.
Okay, well, then I suppose we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.